Welcome to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you by the Mill Street Church of Christ. The Mill Street Church of Christ meets at 415 North Mill Street in London, Kentucky. We assemble on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 10:50 a.m. for worship, as well as 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday evenings for evening worship. We also meet on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for a midweek Bible study. We'd be delighted to have you with us for any of these services. Should you like to have someone come to your home and study the Bible with you, or a free copy of today's program, or a free copy of Bible lesson through the mail, or if you have Bible questions, requests can be made by calling 234-5055 or 878-6108, or we can be reached on email at millstreetcoc@windstream.net. You might also pay us a visit online at our website at www.millstreetcoc.org. That's www.millstreetcoc.org, where you can listen to sermons and read articles on various Bible topics. Eternal Truth can be heard each Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10 o'clock on 1400 AM, WFTG. We invite you to continue listening and tell others about the program. And now, let's look into God's eternal truth together.
Good Sunday morning, and thank you for being with us on another edition of Eternal Truth Radio broadcast. I'm Donnie Oliver. I want to begin, listeners, by thanking you for being with us on the program today and letting you know how appreciative we are for that. It's a great opportunity and privilege that God has blessed us with to be able to come to you by means of this broadcast and spend time together with you in a study from the Bible. We appreciate so very much, and it's encouraging to us to know that there are people like you that have a disposition of mind that you're willing to study from the book of books, the Bible. Let me take the time this morning to encourage you that if you have any questions regarding the things that you hear on the program, or if you have questions related to other Bible topics and would like for us to deal with them, feel free to contact us. We'll assist you in any way that we can to further your understanding of the Bible. We'll meet together with you and study the Bible together with you in your home or wherever it may be convenient for you to meet. We will certainly do all that we can to help you understand further the Word of God and assist you in becoming a Christian and living a faithful life pleasing to God, that heaven will be your home in the after while. So again, please don't hesitate to contact us if we can be of assistance to you along those lines. If you're listening to the program today and your desire is that you would like to have a copy of the program on CD or a correspondence course through the mail so that you can study the Bible further in the privacy of your own home at your own pace, or if you are in need of a Bible and would like to have one, all of those things, listeners, can be put in the mail and sent to you at absolutely no cost to you. The postage will even be paid to get those items to you. So please don't hesitate to call us if we can assist you along those lines. Again, our contact information is 234-5055, or you can give us a call at 878-6108. Let me also encourage you to pay us a visit online at millstreetclc.org. And there you can listen to various sermons that are presented at the Mill Street Church of Christ, as well as Bible studies. You can read articles and watch short videos on that website. So be sure to do that and tell your family and friends about the website and about the program and encourage them to be with us as well. Well, today is going to be our last lesson in this series of lessons dealing with the Lord's Prayer. For the last several weeks, we've been dealing with John chapter 17, which is an entire chapter that records a prayer of Jesus. Of course, he prayed this prayer prior to him being arrested and crucified. And there are many things that we can learn, listener, from this prayer. Recall that on the previous programs, we notice the things that we can learn, the fact that Jesus is praying to the Father who is in heaven. We learned that from the very first verse of John chapter 17, that Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and prayed, directed his prayer to the Father. We also notice that Jesus basically is praying one half of this prayer on behalf of the apostles, and the other half of the prayer on behalf of all the believers that would believe on him through the word of the apostles. That's John 17 and verse number 20. And so we notice that. We notice the fact that Jesus is eternal, that Jesus left the glories of heaven in order to come to this world and live and die on the cross so that we can have the forgiveness of our sins. We also looked on the program that one is sanctified by the Word of God. We spent a program talking about that. And the fact that Jesus finished the work of God and that Jesus' doctrine was from God. He did not speak of himself, but he spoke what the Father wanted him to speak. And we notice the fact that Jesus prayed for the unity of all the disciples. He prayed that the apostles would be one. We read that in John 17 and verse number 11. We learn from John 17 and verse number 22 that he prayed that all the disciples would be one. And so we looked at the importance of having unity. Now, I asked you to challenge yourself to read the 17th chapter of the book of John and write on a sheet of paper or underscore in your Bible some lessons that we could learn, and then compare that with what we're presenting on the program and see if there are any that are similar. And I hope that you've done that. This is a relatively short chapter. It's 26 verses, but yet we can learn so many things from this chapter. Now, on tonight's program, or this morning's program, rather, we're going to notice 2 points. One, that Jesus sent the apostles forth. And secondly, that eternal life necessitates a belief in God and a belief in the Son of God. So let's deal first of all with the fact that Jesus sent the apostles forth. In John chapter 17 and verse 18, listeners, Jesus said, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." And so Jesus makes a statement that he was sent from the Father into the world, and that he sent the apostles into the world. Now that's significant, and it's significant for a number of reasons. You know, when we look at the fact that Jesus sent the apostles into the world, and we began to look at why he sent them into the world and what their mission was and what they were to accomplish and who they were to go to, well, we learn what Jesus meant them by saying, I sent them into the world. And we see the importance of that and the significance of that. Now, listeners, that's significant, again, because Jesus was not going to be forever on the earth. See, we understand that Jesus was born, he lived, and then he died on the cross, he was buried, he was raised from the dead, and then he ascended to heaven and is seated on the right hand of the throne of God. And so, when Jesus is praying his prayer, he knew that it wasn't going to be long before he was crucified and taken from the earth. So he sent the apostles forth for a very specific reason. Now, there are the Jesus sending the apostles forth is typically referred to as commissions. And there are 2 commissions that we read about, or sending forth of the apostles, that we read about in the New Testament. The first one is referred to as a limited commission, as we read in Matthew chapter 10. And this is when the Lord sent the apostles out to the Jews only. They were not to go out and preach to the Gentiles, but to the Jews. Now, the second commission, which is the one that is recorded in Matthew chapter 28, as well as a parallel to that in Mark chapter 16, is referred to as the Great Commission or the Unlimited Commission. And this is a sending forth of the apostles, which was to all people, to the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, they initially preached to the Jews, but there came a time when the gospel was going to be preached to the Gentiles. We see in Acts chapter 2 that on that great Pentecost day that Peter was preaching to the Jews. They were there on that great Pentecost day in the city of Jerusalem. Peter preached to them about Christ, and nearly 3,000 of them, about 3,000 of them, the Bible says, obeyed the gospel on that first day of the week. We also learn then that the household of Cornelius were Gentiles, and we read about the gospel being preached by Peter to them in Acts the 10th chapter. So that Paul could rightfully pen, of course, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, when he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Now listen to what he says. "To the Jew first, and also to the Greek," or the Gentile. And so it came to the Jews first, and then it was extended to the Gentiles. Now what was the instructions that was given, excuse me, by the Lord to the apostles when he sent them out? Well, that's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 28, and we'll begin with verse number 18. So I invite you to turn there with me. Hold your place at John 17. We'll be coming back to that. And turn over to Matthew chapter 28. And let's notice verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now this was after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He's getting ready to ascend back to heaven. And he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Okay, and then in verse number 19, the Lord said, now this is where he's going to send the apostles out. Notice what he says. "Go ye therefore," okay, that was a command. They were to go. Now notice what he says. "And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now notice what the Lord is commanding them. First of all, he's giving them a general command to go. And well, where were they to go? They were to go to all nations, verse 19. Well, what were they to do? They were to teach all nations. What else were they to do? Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, is there anything else, Lord, that you wanted the apostles to do? Notice verse 20. Teaching them. The "them" in verse 20 is in reference to those who obeyed in verse number 19. Okay, the apostles were to go forth and they were to teach all nations, baptizing them. And then when they baptized them, they were to continue to teach them to observe all things, Jesus said, whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth, or the world. And so Jesus is telling them, you need to go and you need to preach the gospel to those of every nation. And you need to make disciples of them, baptize them, and then teach them all the things that I have commanded you to observe. Well, when you go over to Mark chapter 16, Mark 16 beginning in verse number 15, we have Mark's account of this command for the apostles to go forth. Now notice what the Bible says. Mark 16 verse 15. "Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now that's what Jesus said. He told them to go and to teach or to preach. Now notice they were not to go and to teach and preach just anything, but they were to go and preach the gospel. You see, in today's world, men are so busy about teaching and preaching all sorts of different things except the gospel. And that's certainly not what the Lord wanted. The Lord wanted the apostles to go forth, and that applies to us as well, to go and to teach as many as we have opportunity to teach, but to preach the gospel to them. The good news, that's what the word gospel means, the good news of Jesus Christ. So that men can have the forgiveness of their sins and go to heaven in the after while. That's what it's all about. But notice that Jesus gave them the commandment to do that. We find that that's precisely exactly what they did. Because when you drop down to Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, the Bible says that they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now, the apostles did that very thing. And in fact, when you come over to the book of Acts, we read about the persecution that they underwent. We read in Acts chapter 5 that they were beaten concerning the things that they were teaching. They were threatened to not preach or to teach in the name of Christ anymore. But the Bible says, notice if you will in verse number 40 of Acts chapter 5. The Bible says, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, notice what the Bible says, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of great persecution and being threatened and being beaten, they continue to teach and to preach. That's what Jesus sent them forth to do. And they took that very, very seriously. And we should as well. You know, the Bible unmistakably teaches that the world did not receive the apostles. In fact, the Lord states that in the Lord's Prayer, as recorded in John chapter 17. I mean, here you have, listeners, these men who went forth doing exactly what the Lord told them to do, preaching the gospel, teaching people about the Son of God and what they had to do to have the forgiveness of their sins, and yet they were despised, rejected, and suffered persecution. Isn't that sad? You know, the Bible actually talks about what the apostles had to endure. You know, according to history, all the apostles died a martyr's death with the possible exception of John. Now think about what they had to endure as they went forth to preach the good news of Christ. Stephen, the Bible says, was stoned because he preached to the Jews about Christ. That's recorded in Acts chapter 7. And then Paul writes concerning their treatment in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I invite you to turn over there with me and let's read what Paul stated, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's begin with verse number 23. Paul said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." So notice what Paul says, that he endured. Have we ever had to go through those things? I would think that I'm safe in saying we've not had to go through the things that Paul is saying that he had to go through. Well, furthermore, if you turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is writing again concerning what the apostles went through. And he says in 1 Corinthians 4, beginning with verse number 9, we'll read 9 through 13. Paul says, "For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day." Again, how sad it is that here was a group of men sent forth by Christ to teach the gospel to those about them, and they were persecuted and treated in such a awful way. You know, the things that they taught others was to continue being taught to yet more. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And so the teaching had to continue on and on. Well, the second thing that I want us to notice on the program today is the fact that eternal life necessitates, Wister, a belief in God and the Son. Notice that Jesus stated in John 17, verses 2 and 3, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Listeners, Jesus was not talking to himself. There's individuals who believe that the Father and the Son are the same person. Jesus was not talking to himself. Verse number 1 says very simply that Jesus directed his prayer to the Father. The only way, and listen to this, listeners, the only way an individual is going to have eternal life is to believe in God and his Son, Jesus the Christ. You see, one may believe in God the Father, and except they also believe in the Son, they're not going to have life eternal. Jesus said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I'm he, ye shall die in your sins." That's found in John chapter 8 and verse number 24. Remember John 3:16 and 17, when the most well-known passage in all of the Bible, when Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John chapter 3 and verse number 16. Then he says in verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, how is it possible that the Father and the Son are the same person if the Father is the one who sent the Son into the world? You see that? Now notice this as well. One cannot, listener, believe that God the Father and God the Son are the same person, and yet at the same time believe that Jesus was the Son sent from the Father. You see, you have a sender, the Father, and one who was sent from the Father, the Son. Now, if you don't believe that Jesus is the one that was being sent, if you don't believe in Jesus as being the Son of the Father, you cannot be a Christian. Well, what's the solution to that, listener? Listen, the solution is believe what the Bible teaches concerning the matter. Believe in the fact that God sent his Son Jesus into the world to die on the rugged cross of Calvary. Believe that Jesus shed his precious blood that man might have the forgiveness of his sins. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2 and verse number 9. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all, according to Titus chapter 2 verses 10 and 11. We trust that this series of lessons have been beneficial to you. If you have questions or comments, feel free to contact us day or night. Let us encourage you today, listener, to become a Christian. You do that by hearing the gospel. Romans 10:17, the Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If we don't, we cannot be saved. John 8 and verse number 24. Repenting of your sins, that means to have a change of heart that results in a change of action. Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall likewise perish." Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3. Confess your faith in Christ, that you believe that he's the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. Upon doing that, the Bible says that the Lord will forgive you of all of your sins, and he'll add you to the church that you read about on the pages of the Bible, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. If we can be of assistance to you, give us a call, 234-5055. Until next time, Thank you for being with us.
You've been listening to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you each Sunday morning at this same time by the Mill Street Church of Christ. We appreciate you listening to the program and encourage you to continue doing so each Lord's Day. Be sure to tell others about the program, and if we can be of assistance to you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ, give us a call at 234-5055 or 878-6108. And until next week, spend time meditating on God's eternal truth.